Whack Matters is brought to you by Audible.com. If you go to audibletrial.com/whackmatters, you can sign up for a free 30-day trial where you can test out Audible's awesome audiobook monthly subscription service. Make sure to go to audibletrial.com/whackmatters. Welcome to the Whack Matters No End House Watching Podcast Episode 2, where we talk about Season 2, Episode 2 of No End House. I don't know, I feel like I said a bunch of redundant things there, but I'm here with the cast as always. Introduced from left to right, we got
Mac,
Mark,
Matt,
and we just finished the episode and now we're going to talk about it. I do have the sci-fi synopsis.
Nice Neighborhood.
Yeah, it's called Nice Neighborhood.
Or Nice Neighborhood.
Or Nice. It's possibly in France.
Neighborhood.
I'm going to try to get through this first paragraph here. So after the trip to the No End House, Margot and Jules came back to her house only to find Margot's dead father, John, by the way. I guess that's his name. I don't think we've heard it yet.
Yeah.
Does it say by the way?
Yes, this is John BTW, actually.
John, his way.
Because aware that no one would know what that is.
Alive and standing in the kitchen, they don't know what happened to JT or Seth, but assume they got out sooner and left. It's pretty unclear what's happening, but we do get a quick look at Jules' home life. She doesn't like her mother much. She's not a huge fan of anything that's going on, really, but it's okay. She came home for the summer to see her friend. Also, it turns out she's having dreams about what she saw in the No End House, a big white orb that also turns out to be what she saw in room 5 of the house.
Orb seems to be a much better way to say that than giant ball.
Or egg.
I don't know. I think giant ball was pretty good.
It's just a touch lamp. She touches it and it lights up.
Yeah.
That's what happened to her hair. It's
so are we supposed to respond to that part right
if
now?
If you want to, sure. Do you have anything you want to say about that?
No. Because
we definitely haven't heard John's name.
Yeah, I didn't know what his name was.
Yeah.
Not that it makes a difference.
Is JT related to him? Is he like John?
Denver?
Trull?
Oh, he's the true John?
John Denver's full of crap, man.
Now sitting in Margot's kitchen and having a conversation with Margot's father, who is, let's remember, supposed to be dead. I'm not editorializing.
And supposed to be John.
So somebody wrote that.
Yes. Okay. It says right here, in parentheses, who is, let's remember, supposed to be dead.
Right.
They're concerned that he seems... I feel like this is written for people that just couldn't stand watching the episode, but really wanted to know what happened.
That's a real narrow demographic.
Which I guess is the people that are listening to this podcast, right?
Also a real narrow demographic.
See, after the way this ended, I'd be willing to watch the next episode. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm with you.
So, see, the main reason I am reading this is A, so we can comment on it, and B, so if you're not watching the show, you kind of know what we're talking about. Let's see. But this place is definitely not the real world. When Margot excuses herself to take a break from it all, she sees that the view outside her window is repeating. The world keeps correcting itself somehow.
No. Two bicyclists repeated. That's it. That was the entire repetition of the world.
Well, was unless it two bicyclists something. Or just one?
There were two.
But maybe it was repeating very quickly. So it was just one bicyclist.
Oh, and the eggs.
But four times.
Oh, the eggs. See, but that wasn't repeating. That was a duplication. That's not the same
thing.
She put
eggs in. She took eggs out of the fridge and opened it up and there were more eggs in the fridge.
Yeah, I was really taken out of it when she was like, okay, guys, this is the infinite egg glitch in real life. You just got to take the eggs out. And then close the fridge, and then there's more eggs.
That's a bad way to try to communicate repeating world.
Yeah, that did take me out of that scene a whole lot. I mean, as an engineer, I'm going to experiment with that fridge a whole lot more than she did.
Right.
Clearly. Like that.
Any person.
Now that you think about it, the first thing you would do is put something else in there.
Like money.
Absolutely.
Money. Like money.
Yeah, but what can you really buy in this world?
Yeah, but maybe you can get out with it.
Maybe.
I mean, you just put it in your pocket and get out with it.
John takes the opportunity to get Jules alone and mentions that he knows that something is wrong and that he shouldn't be there, but that Margot needs him. Jules is unconvinced, but he tells her that she was a lousy friend to Margot when he died. Jules is upset.
How would he know he was dead?
That's a real good question.
I don't think it's actually him, guys.
No.
Do you think it's really JD?
It might be.
Oh, If you guys forgot who Dylan was, here we go. Meanwhile, the guy...
If we forgot, it's like they assume...
No kidding. They
assume the guy who makes no changes in his facial expression will be easily forgotten.
No, that's not Dylan.
Dylan is Merc, dude.
Dylan's the guy who shot that girl. Looking for his wife.
Oh, well, he's... Okay.
As we're about to find out.
He's the one cool guy.
The guy in the red hat who came into Noen House with them, that's Dylan. If you recall, he came into the Noen House to find someone.
He had a red hat?
I didn't remember that at all.
I don't remember.
Is it like a MAGA hat?
That's why he's going around killing people.
Well, wasn't the person women. Shot a minority?
He's killing women.
Right. He started by shooting a woman.
Jules is really done for in this place.
That totally makes sense now.
He bumps into a woman who's very glad to see him.
He's an alt-writer.
And this looks like it could be her. Instead, he shoots her in the street and nobody seems to notice. Out of the house themselves, Seth and JT head back to their houses and bump into all kinds of weird things. Seth, for example, comes across a cage in the middle of a cul-de-sac with a family in it. JT, meanwhile, arrives at his own house and, well, this is a typo, and sees a replica of him who invites him in.
What was the typo? It might be a clue.
Meanwhile, arrives at his own house and Seth's replica of him.
I think that's probably what they meant.
Now
the pair of JTs have a conversation about which of them is a better version of him.
And what kind of ice cream he likes?
Pistachio.
Right. Is that in the description?
I don't think pistachio is important in here anymore. Yeah,
I think that's important. I think it's more important what they've written so far.
Jules finally gets a chance to talk with Margot, even though they both agree that John is not her real dad, though Margot is unclear on that. Wait, hold on.
No, they both agree, but Margot's not sure she actually agrees.
Is she unclear on whether she agrees, or is she unclear on whether that's her dad or not?
It's hard to tell based on this writing.
That's a misplaced modifier for sure.
Yeah.
Jules says they need to figure out how to leave, and that's when their real relationship issues come out. When Margot's dad died, Jules was there for her. Wait. Things kept getting harder and harder. Over time, Margot became too sad to be around, and Jules pulled away and went to college. That's where she says the line, "People go to college, that's what people do."
That's really the tagline for the whole episode.
That's what people do.
This leads to a fight with Margot and Jules where they part ways. One thing is established, though. They're definitely not in the real world. Jules asks what they've all been thinking. Is this the sixth room?
When did she ask that?
She did ask that.
When?
I don't remember that.
I don't remember that. Because I would have laughed.
You did laugh. I'm pretty sure you did laugh.
Did I?
Yeah, because we were like, have you been paying attention? Whatever.
Well, see, Mac, your own memories are eating you alive right now.
Just like the guy. Yeah. Spoilers for the end of the episode.
Dylan finds the house he's been looking for and calls someone named Lacey. She appears at the top of the stairs, and while he knows her, she doesn't remember him at all. He tries to remind her that they came to Noen House together, and he got out and she didn't. Now he's come to find her. This is a rescue. It turns out Lacey is Dylan's wife.
So wait, he left his wife behind? Yeah. Like, so he hit like room three. He's like, sorry, babe, I'm out. You can finish the house if you want. And then she never gets out a couple years later.
I think that's the idea.
So he had to go back into the house. So that's why he's so murderous now. He's like a pendulum swinging the other direction.
He's going to kill his way to her.
Right.
If you remember from episode one, the house disappears and shows up like once a year. So it's probably been at least a year.
Oh, I don't remember that.
You guys need to follow the details.
Is that what JT says?
Yeah, I believe he says that somewhere.
Well, everyone keeps talking during the show. I don't get it all.
Yeah, if you guys would calm down, I'm trying to watch this TV show.
Right. I just love that I get to be the lore master for this show.
Well, you've already watched it, and you've read these things.
It's my favorite job. Margot continues to hang out with her dad and goes for a swim in the pool. When she gets in the pool, it seems to go forever whenever she puts her head underwater. This place keeps getting
very
much...
very clearly not when her head's above water.
This is a weird sentence. This place keeps getting much weirder.
That feels like another misplaced modifier. What is it that goes forever when she puts her head underwater?
Her head
goes forever.
The weirdest part, though, is that when her dad touches her head to dry her off, they both get dizzy. It unsettles them.
See, and this is like...
Touch fuzzy, get dizzy.
This writing is convincing me I could be a professional author. Like I need to write a little bit more because I tried to write a little bit.
If you want to work for the Sci-Fi Channel, like I feel like I could write for the Sci-Fi Channel.
Clearly, all you need to do is actually write something.
Right. Clearly.
Just present them with something.
And the writing doesn't have to be clear.
Right. Just write
something.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like I could work for the Sci-Fi Channel right now. If I found the job and wanted to move to Canada or wherever.
Maybe you should send the podcast to them and just see if they air it.
You could probably work from home.
I found another podcast making fun of this show on the subreddit for the show. So maybe I could post this there. I don't know.
Anyways, keep going.
Did another part the of the neighborhood. Was it any good?
What? Yeah, it was funny.
Maybe we should do a podcast on
probably funnier
podcast.
Than this one. In another part of the
That's
neighborhood.
That's next Halloween time.
Jules finds Seth and they break into an empty house
to
sleep.
Who the heck
sleep.
Is Seth?
Seth is hot
Seth
guy,
is butt
I guess.
Chin.
Chin butt.
Which
butt
I chin. Forgot his name.
Yeah.
The guy who has not changed facial expressions since the beginning of the show.
Right.
Right.
So Seth and Jules break into an empty house to sleep in shifts. When Seth falls asleep,
which
though,
they don't do.
They don't do. Jules hears a noise and goes upstairs to investigate. There she finds, ... that big white orb. When she touches it, it glows yellow and there's clearly something inside it. But what?
Was it capitalized?
No, there was an exclamation point and a question
How
mark.
Many exclamation points?
Just one, though.
Okay, that was pretty loud.
What noise did she hear, anyway?
It was them saying Jewish. Jules, I think, but I thought it said Charles.
It was just saying Jules.
Charles in charge.
Jules.
Jules.
How's your ASMR?
Jules.
But what? Oh, sorry, I already yelled that. All that happens to JT and Alpha JT continue to argue and things I read poorly. I'm sorry. I'm not dyslexic though. All that happens All that happens as JT and Alpha JT continue to argue and things escalate. I feel like there should be a comma there. The girl seems to not entirely know who she is, and Alpha JT has finally had enough. He gets up and grabs a bottle and swings it hard. Alpha JT murders real JT.
Oh, so he is actually supposed to be dead now.
Also, he hits him a lot of times.
Yeah, it was like 8 times. 6 times, actually. One for every
episode.
Every room he went in.
We're almost done. Finally, Margot's dad creeps into her room while she's sleeping. He puts his hand on her head and some images of her mother go by. Right. As that happens, we see the downstairs in the basement. Margot's mother is rising out of a pool of bluish ooze. It definitely looked like blood, though.
It looked like an attempt at blood.
It was not blue.
It was like a blackish, like David Fincher.
Blue. Well, maybe it was a light.
They put blue film grade on the whole thing, though, so everything looked blue.
Could be the lighting.
Is he extracting? Hold on. This is a question.
It's blue, dabadi dabadi.
Thank you.
Should we just end there?
No.
Is he extracting the memory of Margot's mom? Why? To bring her into this world? No. It's to eat her, or rather, the baba pod fish egg pink bubbles that are in her corpse. So
it's
that
a what? Say that.
It's a boba.
Say that again.
Is it boba pod?
It's boba pod.
What does that mean?
What is it?
So you know when you go to Orange Leaf?
I don't know.
What's
what
Orange
is.
Leaf? Is that the smoothie place?
It's the ice cream, the frozen yogurt.
Okay.
So you go to a lot of frozen yogurt places, and there's these weird, it's those orb things. They're like fruit flavored, and you can put them
like
on your frozen yogurt.
That's
considerably less creepy now.
Is boba tea bubble pods?
Especially since that's what they call it.
Oh, bubble tea?
Anyways.
Hold on, bubble milk? Hold on, I need to reread this whole thing again because it's just written like so weirdly.
So Margie's memory of her mom is that she's filled with bubble tea?
Yeah.
And naked.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she didn't go to college. She's not the sharpest knife in the drawer, guys.
Your mother most?
She really should have gone to college.
Yeah, she's not that smart, clearly.
Hold on, I need to read this again.
She also doesn't notice that her dad's really creeping on her.
Right, she probably thinks everybody's filled with that stuff.
Let's see here. I need to read this again. As this happens, we see downstairs in the basement, Margot's mother is rising out of a pool of bluish ooze. Is he extracting the memory of Margot's mom? Why? To bring her into this world? No. It's to eat her. Or rather, the bubble tea, fish egg, pink bubbles that are in her corpse. So... this is written. I need to show you this, how this is punctuated. So, that explains the beware the cannibal sign in episode 1, no?
See? I made the connection. But maybe she took that poem to heart, you know?
Last paragraph.
Girls are made from sugar and spice and everything nice.
That explains the, quote, beware of cannibal sign in episode 1, no?
No, just the whole last...
Yeah. And somebody published this?
This is poor.
Yeah.
Oh, there's an advertisement for some cute girl asking Alexa to play something. I'm sorry.
So that's the episode synopsis here.
Yeah, so I'm going to tell that story.
Yeah, do it.
So that creeped, like I said, that creeped me out, that part, the whole cannibal part, even though she's filled with what we thought were like fish eggs or pomegranate seeds. Mm-hmm. And even though it didn't look anything like human flesh, it still creeped me out because I have this thing with cannibal. I don't like cannibals.
I can get behind that.
Right.
I can't.
When I was 12 years old, I was invited over to a friend's house. I lived in Connecticut. And he's like, we're going to watch a horror movie. We're going to wait for my parents to go to bed. We're going to watch a horror movie. I'm like, okay, cool. So the movie is what, Flesh Eating Moms. And it was about this virus that only affected women. And it turned these women into these like cannibal monsters, basically. They still look the same, but when they go to eat you, their jaw would unhinge. It would grow really big, and they were super strong, and they could rip arms off. But the moms would feed their kids extra food and extra milk to fatten them up. And there was a scene where the mom like eats her kid, like right on screen, like rips off his arm and then eats him. And it terrified me. And I didn't trust my mom for like that entire summer. Like I didn't want to get anything that resembled anything like she was fattening me up to eat me. Like I avoided her. And the thing was that my buddy, he was missing an arm. He like just at the elbow, he had an arm that it was gone. I don't know why he lost it. Like what, you know, I just like, so that was like burned into my brain that I was, it didn't matter what he told me. I was convinced, at least for a while, that it was his mom who ate his arm.
Do you think he was trying to hint to you that that's what had happened? Like,
Mac, that's why he picked
I
that
need
movie.
Help.
That's why
and
he picked that
movie.
This is
why you need to see this movie.
And I abandoned him.
And you're like,
I did.
You left him in Connecticut.
I left him in Connecticut. No, we kept hanging out after that. I don't remember if we watched any more movies, but that movie has always stuck with me.
It was just that movie every time, and he would just make direct.
Because like, I was 12.
He would just stare at Mac the whole time.
Yeah, I had a really similar experience with Family Ties. So like, I was like 4 or 5 years old. And there's this episode where all the family is playing this practical joke on the little kid, and they're all wearing these scary Halloween masks and just chase him out of the house. I was afraid of masks for until now.
Until you saw episode one of this show.
That really cured my fear of it. Not really worried about him anymore.
Right. They're not so bad, I guess.
They're not so bad.
So you had expressed interest that this was a better episode than the first one, Mac?
Well, yes. I said after the way it ended, I would be willing to watch a third episode based on the way, if somebody said, look, you have to watch the first two episodes, and then we weren't doing this commentary thing, and I watched the first two episodes, I'm like, okay, I might watch the third one on my own.
How would you feel, Matt?
Like, I still don't think it's a good show. I don't even know if I'd call this a better episode, but I'm curious enough that I want to know where they're going with it.
Right.
Yeah. It's left open-ended enough with enough interesting questions.
Well, up until this point, nothing that I could even put into the same vicinity as creepy had happened in my mind.
Until the last scene?
Until the last scene of the second episode.
Yeah, this whole episode felt way less creepy to me. That's actually why I'm more interested now, I think.
Are you averse to creepy episodes? Or shows, I guess?
Well, not as a general rule, but I don't know. The first episode just did not drag me in. This one...
Like I said, the cannibalism always moves my creep meter. Like, even if it was like a comedy, it would still be creepy.
I mean, frankly, I am just hungrier than before after watching this episode. I want to eat some pomegranate.
Some pomegranate.
Yeah. I don't know. When I watched this for the first time, I think I saw the first... I think I missed the first episode live and saw the first two together. And I was interested enough to say, hey, I probably should figure out what's up with the person raising body pomegranates. I don't even know if I really thought about what was inside. It was more just I was a little bit creeped out by the fact that he ripped off her arm and ate it, and then her head. It was less about the pomegranates inside, the boba tea inside, and it was more about just that he was rezzing memories, seemingly. And
that does seem interesting.
Yeah, that seemed like a cool enough concept. And so I was on for episode 3 when I first saw it. I mean, I finished the season, so I guess I was up through all the episodes, but I don't know.
So when I think of creepy, I don't know if you guys have seen this movie, but The Babadook.
I've heard of it.
I have not seen that one.
How can we talk about horror when, like, I'm naming off these horror movies. None of you guys have seen them. So The Babadook is super creepy, right? It's an underrated horror film. Well, it was an underwatched. I don't think it's underrated.
Isn't that what they call John Wick?
Yeah, that's...
What?
The Babadook? Don't they say that at some point? Or they tell the
story? Yeah, Baba Yaga.
There we go.
It's Russian for boogeyman. But that's what the movie really is about. It's basically about a boogeyman. But it's done really well. I don't want to overstate it because it's not like the greatest movie ever made. But it's for somebody who doesn't watch a lot of horror, mostly because most horror is like slasher or gore, and I'm not into that. I like heavy atmospheric, psychological, creepy, and this like it hits all of those.
Well, so you like this show then that we're watching?
No.
Well, it's atmospheric when they blast that music so loud you can't hear the dialogue. Well,
see, no, yeah, yeah, no. Yeah,
that's not the atmosphere I'm looking for.
Right.
How would you rate this episode on a scale of 1 to 10?
Well, I gave the last one a 3.
Correct.
I'll give this one a 4.
Okay. So what's up 1?
I'll also go up 1. I'll give it a 5.
I'm staying with 5.
5. So we have not reached the Rotten Tomatoes critical 100% recommend yet.
Right.
Would you recommend this to anyone?
Not yet.
I would much sooner recommend the podcast than the actual episode.
I feel like the podcast is worth recommending because listening to the synopsis and then listening to you laugh at them is maybe worth it. Because the show is just, I don't know where they're going. And I feel like, as someone that did read the creepypasta, and they've left the creepypasta already, I feel like it just is so slow. There are scenes where nothing happens and they do a lot of shot on empty expression face.
Like that's what's coming? Or
no, that's what we saw.
Yeah.
There were so many scenes of just staring at a person's face while they... Like, it's one thing if you are doing a movie and you...
So there's more of that.
And you see someone act. But these people weren't acting. Like, you were... During the commentary episode, you made jokes that a girl looked like she was trying to, like, think about crying. Because she wasn't actually crying. There was just a scene where she was walking down the road and nothing happened. And she kind of looked like she was sad or angry.
She looked like she wanted to be crying.
Like, it's like, I'm supposed to be crying, or I'm supposed to be sad.
If I don't start crying now, I'm going to lose my job.
I don't think there's any chance of that.
And this is just, I feel like episode 2, I was still super on board because of the creep factor. But we're going to enter some weird periods where I think there is some weird plot direction. And we have that to look forward to.
Because, yeah, there's been no weird plot direction thus far.
I don't know. I feel like there's a really good climax.
No, I think there has. Right at the end of the second episode. I think it actually took an interesting turn.
Would you...
Compared to what we've already seen.
For Halloween, would you eat a dish that looked like that lady's arm?
Yeah.
Even though your creep factor would be up?
No, I'm just talking about for, like, movies. Yeah, I don't have a problem with cannibalism in real life.
Oh, okay.
But in movies, it really bugs me.
I'm really scared of Wendigo.
I could probably ask my wife to.
Have you seen the movie Ravenous?
So if it was like a cake or something, is that what you're saying? Shaped like an arm?
It couldn't be a cake. It would have to be like bubble tea. Like
Counselor Troy.
It would be like bubble tea inside of like some flesh.
But it wouldn't be real flesh.
That's up to the interpretation.
You do like sushi with bubble tea inside?
That sounds gross
too. How's that actually pronounced? Is it bubble tea, baba tea, bubba tea?
Well, bubble tea is what it says if you go to like the fancy place up in Omaha, but it said boba.
I don't even know what that tastes like. What does it taste like?
Like Boba Fett?
Boba orbs?
I think so.
It said boba pod boba fish tea? Egg pink bubbles.
Oh. No, because we see his head get cut off, don't we?
Who said?
No, Django.
Django that Unchained? Movie didn't happen.
What didn't happen?
Attack of the Clones, I think, is what he's trying to argue.
Yeah. Oh. It's really unfortunate that George Lucas died halfway through episode 6 and never got to finish him.
Well, yeah. Never got to go back.
Worst things could have happened. They could have made a movie where Luke Skywalker threatens to kill a young man because, you know, for no good reason.
Yeah, that guy needed to trim his sideburns.
Are we talking about the part where he gets the milk? Because that part's my favorite. It makes me hungry epic. As well.
That's creepier than this dude eating the guy's arm. That hit, dude. That hit my creep factor. It was pegging at a 10.
To be fair, I was very skeeved out by that scene.
Yeah, I think most people were
flawless.
So are we saying that The Last Jedi is better than this?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'd watch The Last Jedi twice before I watched this. Or said that, you know, this was great, even with all the terrible jokes.
Hey, thank you for listening to Whack Matters coverage of Channel Zero No End House. If you want to check out the commentary track, go to whackmatters.com and we'll have it posted there. We also have the RSS feed, so you can subscribe to our podcast and listen to every episode that we put out. We also do a show called Life's What You Rate It, where Mark and I make jokes about how awesome everything in the world is. There's also another show called Tune In, where Mark and his friend Karsten talk about cartoons and how they're good for everybody, even adults. If you want to support this website, there's a donate button at whackmatters.com. But if you'd like to actually get something back out of it, you could go to whackmatters.storemv.com and buy an awesome t-shirt. We like them. Thanks for listening to the show. We hope you're looking forward to next week. Hope to see you there.